hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, if you're listening to our program out across America, you can give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us on the line Arthur Bernclough from it's a veterans organization, but it's Americans for Constitutional.
It's Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited.
Yeah, Veterans for Constitutional Law. And then Arthur is an advocate for our veterans. And let me tell you that our veterans are being misused and mistreated by the Veterans Administration. Oh, the politicians say, oh, we're so indebted to our veterans, these brave and courageous men. But when they come back from the war with their disabilities and without their arms and legs or blinded or whatever it may be, why, of course, they get really a terrible shift from the Veterans Administration. In fact, they even reward people who work for the Veterans Administration for figuring a reason of withholding benefits from the veterans. The Veterans Administration get rewards, you know, for turning veterans down.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, right now, from our current war in Iraq, now they will admit, of course, to about 1,250 casualties. They don't comment that we have another 800 men who've died who worked for the CIA and who are over there under contract. There are about 30,000 additional casualties. Many of them are wounded. Many of them are the other strange diseases similar to what we had after the first Gulf War, the first Gulf War illness, which the government has consistently lied about until really within the last 3 or 4 weeks when a new report came out from the Veterans Administration. And an interesting study in thought control is to try to get a copy of that most recent report. They've done everything they can to suppress it. Why? Because they would have to admit that they've been lying for, 13 years now since the war ended, saying there is no Gulf War illness, it's all psychiatric, we'll give you some Prozac. And now, of course, it's become very obvious that these people have certain specific symptoms. They're disabled by it. And we're going to talk a little bit with Arthur because he's on the front lines of trying to get benefits for our veterans from past wars, from Vietnam and certainly from the first Gulf War. And I'm sure that very, very soon we'll find the same thing with the second Gulf War. But you must understand that in wartime, the first casualty is the truth. The trouble is that after the war is over, they still don't tell the truth. So pick up the story there, Arthur. Tell us what you encounter when you deal with the Veterans Administration and try to help these veterans.
Dr. Stan, the method of treatment, no matter what's wrong with you, the method of treatment at a veterans hospital is Prozac. It doesn't matter what's wrong with you. Prozac is the selected method of treatment that you're going to be treated with almost all the time.
And, of course, the active ingredient in Prozac is a fluoride compound, and you take those fluorides for long enough, you take them over a year, and your brain is never the same again. They know exactly what they're doing to our veterans. They just don't want them to know any more than they want the people in the general population to realize the disastrous effects of fluoride on the human brain and the permanent changes it enacts, whether you take it in the form of Prozac or whether you take it in the form of fluoridated water, whether, of course, you take it in the food that you ingest.
Or in your toothpaste.
Amen to that. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Arthur Bernclough, and you're going to find, a very tragic story of the mistreatment of American veterans. Of course, it is endemic within the system. It is purposeful. It's intentional. But they don't want you to know that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Arthur Bernclough from Americans for Veterans for Constitutional Law. And, of course, he is a veterans advocate. He works with the veterans who are trying to get treatment and the disability benefits they've been promised by the Veterans Administration. And, of course, there's an organized, coordinated effort on the part of the Veterans Administration to turn down time and time and time again the request by the veterans for the disability they're entitled to. So you pick up the story there, Arthur.
Yes, only 4% of the veterans who apply for disability usually end up getting the disability, the full disability. And I'm going to repeat a part of a program which we had back around April the 8th. Some of your listeners may recall this. Many of them would figure it's yesterday's news, and they forget it the next day. And this is an ABC news program called Questionable Practices. And it's disturbing revelations about quality of care at some of the United States Veterans Hospitals. It's an ABC News special, and Diane Sawyer hosted this, and we sent Diane Sawyer several bouquets of flowers after this program. She really did a wonderful job on it, and it was April 8th of this year. Now, it was the anniversary, a 14-year anniversary of April 8th, 14 years ago, in the year 1990, when an ABC News hidden camera investigation ignited a firestorm about conditions and competence inside Veterans Administration hospitals, and with several hundred thousand young American men and women putting their lives at risk in Iraq and in Afghanistan, there are concerns about conditions at some of the United States Veterans Hospitals, and recently there have been new stories of misdiagnosis, disastrous management, and deficient care at some of the nation's 162 facilities. Now, at a hospital near Cleveland, an ABC News hidden camera investigation found bathrooms filthy with what appeared to be human excrement. Supply cabinets were in disarray. Dirty linens from some patients mixed in with clean supplies or left in hallways on gurneys. At a neighboring facility, examining tables had dried blood and medication still on them in several areas. Open, biohazardous waste cans were spilling over. Primetime obtained internal memos documenting that the equipment used to sterilize surgical instruments had broken down, causing surgical delays and possible infection risks. Now, with several hundred thousand young American men and women,
Hold that thought right there, Arthur, because we're going to have our other station join us. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course Arthur Bernthal is our guest from Veterans for Constitutional Law, and he's just telling us about a report that came out, what was this, about 10 years ago?
The report originally came out about 14 years ago.
All right, so that was right after the first Gulf War.
Right.
And just the terrible, terrible situation in our veterans' hospitals. Now, I'm sure some of them may well be run well, but of course some of them are not run well. But there was an organized effort on the part of the Veterans Administration to discourage veterans from getting disability payments.
Exactly.
And of course they have limited amount of money, and of course they'd rather give it to the bureaucrats and give it to the boys who fought and suffered and many times were permanently incapacitated in fighting for America. And what I think the most shocking thing that I've learned from Arthur interviewing through the years is that they have a program of giving special benefits to government employees who withhold enough benefits for the veterans. And the more you withhold, the bigger the benefit that you get, the bigger the rewards you get for for your betrayal of your job. And that's the only way they can get these government employees to withhold the benefits. Many of them, I'm sure, feel guilty, but after all, if you're going to get $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 for withholding benefits, why, after all, if you don't do it, somebody else will. And wouldn't you like to have that? And this is the sort of thing that goes on in the Veterans Administration.
It's such a wide practice in the VA. We call it bounties, bonuses. They give them bonuses to deny claims, regardless of the evidence. And where are you going to take it? If you take it up to the Board of Veterans Appeals, they'll remand it back to the regional office. If you take it to the Court of Veterans Appeals, they'll remand it back to the Board of Veterans Appeals.
And so basically what they do is get these poor fellows, you know, onto a circle, and they're running around in a cage, and there's no way out. And it'll take them years and years and years before they've exhausted all of the appeals. And only then, how long does it take before you can really get to a court and get a fair trial?
You won't make it in less than 7 years.
7 years, okay.
Yeah, you won't make it in less than 7 years.
And what happens to your family in the meantime?
That's your problem. If you're dealing with the Veterans Administration, it's your problem.
And I think
what they say is veterans come and go, but the VA is forever.
And I think that the great tragedy is that government, by its very essence, is corruption, which is why the Founding Fathers of America wanted to limit the power of government. They didn't want a standing army. They didn't want America going from war to war to war. And they didn't want America to be going after an empire. They wanted us to be friends with other nations, but allied with none. And you go back and you read what George Washington and the founding fathers of this country said. They feared happening just what we're seeing happening today when you have a small clique that are intent upon war after war after war and are in the pursuit of an empire at the present time. And they're getting away with it because the good people in America are sitting back and saying, well, things aren't so bad. I think I'll vote for a party that gives me the most economic reward, and maybe they'll cut my taxes a little bit more. And, of course, rather than demanding that they cut the spending so that they can cut taxes, we just want the tax cut without anything responsibly being done. And we're borrowing today from our great-grandchildren so we can live high on the hog. But one day, the day of reckoning is going to come.
Dr. Stan, the American public seems to be more worried about same-sex marriages and Ellen DeGeneres and all kinds of nonsense like that, but they don't seem to speak up when it comes to their children and their grandchildren being slaughtered in a toxic wasteland, Iraq. We don't belong there. We never did. But let me get back to the hospitals here, because this is a repeat of that hospital program, and a lot of people have forgotten about this, even though it was on less than 8 months ago. With hundreds of thousands of young American men and women putting their lives at risk in Iraq today and in Afghanistan, these conditions in the hospital, they're particularly relevant. While current soldiers are treated in military hospitals when they leave the service and need treatment, many of them are going to be seeking care at the Veterans Affairs Hospital. There's known as the Department of Veterans Affairs, is what the VA is now known as. I still call them the VA. Now, once you come back to be a veteran, it's like a black hole. And that's a quotation of former Army Sergeant Vanessa Turner when she spoke to ABC News. Now, Vanessa Turner was stricken with a mysterious illness while on duty in Iraq this past year. She retired from the military on medical grounds, and when she reported to a VA hospital for treatment, doctors scheduled her for an appointment 6 months later. Now, veterans who responded to a survey by the American Legion in 2003 said it took an average of 7 months to get a first appointment at a VA hospital, and in some VA hospitals, patients have waited as long as 2 years. In 1999, Jack Christensen, a former Army sergeant who served in the Korean War, was admitted to the VA hospital in Temple, Texas with pneumonia and ended up staying 3 years. Christensen's wife, Pat, said the attitude of some of the practical nurses was shocking. Some of the patients were forced to beg for food and water, she said. Instead of helping her husband go to the bathroom, she said, they would put a towel under his hips and tell him to use the towel. Pat Christensen said her husband's condition worsened over several months, so badly that at one point he developed horrific bed sores and dangerous infections, and she says his doctor said they would have to amputate his legs. Pat moved her husband to a private facility where his infection healed, and he underwent extensive physical therapy. She sued the VA and then used the money to pay for private care for her husband. The VA denied liability, but they paid a settlement. Dr. Jonathan Perlin, the Deputy Undersecretary for Health, said the VA system has sophisticated quality control, but when he was shown ABC News' hidden camera video of hallways and supply closets in disarray, he said, "This is something we're not proud of. There are fundamental problems here."
All right. Well, I think that our listeners really need to know what's really going on. Have you ever noticed they talk about the number of men killed in Iraq, but they never count the number of people killed in Afghanistan? Why? Because they want to keep the figures down. They tell us about the number of people who were wounded, but they never tell us of the number of casualties. And there are well over 30,000 in Iraq alone, and we have no idea how many there are as far as Afghanistan is concerned. And, of course, they never tell us about all the people over there who are injured or severely injured or may have lost a leg or been totally disabled, but they weren't disabled in battle. So when they talk about battle casualties, and so they are simply lying to the American people. Why? Because they don't want the American people to turn against the war. And so this is what you do. And when you have a government that lies to you about the number of casualties, lies to you consistently, and separates the men killed in Afghanistan from the people killed in Iraq and the people who are wounded from the people who are severely injured because they've been over there. And then, of course, they've also about 800 mercenaries have been killed over there, too. When was the last time you heard about that? Why are they doing it? Because they're playing games with our mind. And if they're going to lie about that, and they're going to lie about the Gulf War illness, which was really all the indications it was part of a massive a medical experiment carried out on our boys, because they all have the same symptoms. They can't think. They can't think clearly. They have chronic diarrhea. They have chronic headaches and chronic pain. They have chronic fatigue. And of course, this is what the Gulf War illness is. And there are probably close to at least 200,000, if not more, of the veterans of the first Gulf War out of the 670.
You're going to be shocked at this figure.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, you're going to be very shocked at this figure. There was a health piece done, veterans health piece done, different war, different wounds, which appeared February 13th, 2004. In light of that article and what the VA alleged, here's the following facts. As it concerns our honorable and patriotic American military forces who already fought in that Gulf War I or are presently there or soon to be deployed, our government is intentionally deceiving them as concerning vital matters which have the potential to devastate their lives, not to mention the environment of our planet. In that regard, neither our military forces nor the American people are being warned about the hell which potentially awaits them as veterans after they return to America. I was shocked to recently learn in an article by scientist Lauren Moret that the Veterans Administration recently reported, now listen to this figure, Dr. Stan, 325,000 out of 580,400 Gulf War vets were on permanent medical disability by the year 2000. They held this figure out. They did not tell anybody about this. They hid this figure, even though only 467 were wounded during that war. 325,000 are on permanent disability.
Really, I would love to see that article, because I'd like to have that in my files. And we know that
you got it. I faxed it out to you already.
All right. Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that the very essence of government is to lie to the people. I mean, they've lied about the Social Security fund. They've lied about
the
number of casualties.
So
if you can't trust them to be honest with the people, how can you trust them with your sons and with your daughters? And remember what Henry Kissinger said, and he's quoted in the book by Woodward and Bernstein, The Final Days, on page, I believe, 194, where he said, the military people are simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. That's what they really think about them. There is an elite. And, of course, they're sending our boys to fight and die in a war that's being fought for far different purposes than we've ever been told. And this is just the beginning of a long series of wars.
Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem about that called Tommy.
Right, and I think it's so important that people understand we're building either 13 or 14 major military bases there. Why are we building those if we're going to come home? If all we went over there was to bring democracy to the people, why is it that, we're building the largest American embassy anywhere in the world there in Iraq if we're planning on leaving after we bring democracy? And I'd like to suggest that
we're not leaving there. We're there to stay.
There we are. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get involved. You've got to get informed. And you've got to help us inform others before, of course, we see our cities looking like Fallujah does today.
other thing right here, part of it.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Arthur Birnbaum from the Veterans for Constitutional Law. We're talking about, of course, the plight of the American veterans, and Arthur is an advocate, and he's helped veterans all across the country because they don't know how the system works. They get frustrated 7 years going back again and again to bureaucrats who are paid to ignore their complaints, and even if they're totally valid, just put them off and put them off. So, Arthur, how can people get in touch with you and your organization?
Okay. We can be reached at Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. We're at 112 Jefferson Avenue. We're in Port Jefferson, New York, Port Jefferson, New York, 11777. And our number is 631-474-4000. 631-4261.
No, one more time. 631.
631-474-4261. And I've got to get this information out or I will not complete this report during the program. I got a lot of information I've got to dispense here, Dr.
Okay, Sam. Go ahead.
Okay, now, part of the report that came in, and you'll find this in pages 1 and 2 of the facts that I sent you on Sunday. So you should have this there. If you don't find this, let me know, and I'll send it out to you again.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, in Gulf War One, the same vet study group, 67% of the post-war babies of these people coming back from Gulf War One, and remember, we were there only a short time. We were not there for a long time. They were born with severe birth defects. Now, Mycoplasma incognitus fermentis could cause some birth defects, but it would not account for two-thirds of the people being born with birth defects, and it would not account for the high rate of cancer that these people from Gulf War One have gotten. Now, should the United States government now warn American troops being deployed to contaminated Iraq, incredible toxic wasteland, that they should leave uncontaminated sperm or eggs at a sperm egg bank for future family babies without severe birth defects prior to deployment? And sadly and significantly, it may be too late for many who are now fighting that war.
And, of course, this is related to the depleted uranium, which, of course, is spreading all over that area. The government wants to use it because it's an effective weapon, and the purpose of the military is not to, to worry about future generations. It's to win the war, and no matter how hazardous it is to the health of our people and to the Iraqi people. And depleted uranium, I want you to know, is 100% uranium. It's the only depleted because they've taken some of the 235 out of it, and it's remaining 235, and it's the remaining 238 with a half-life of 4 billion years.
And not just that, all the stuff that's in the rubble in Iraq, we sold it to 29 other countries. There's 29 other countries who have depleted uranium shells that we sold to them.
I know. And it's really so tragic, unless you understand that there are people who believe that there are just too many people in the world, and we have to get the population down from 6 billion to 2 billion. How do you think we'll ever do that in a short period of time?
I think this war has given our government the answer.
People say nothing could be that evil, and I would say, why not? We're told, and the very scriptures themselves, for we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the wickedness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high
places. The bones, the masons, the whole bunch of them have been waiting for something like this in Iraq. Now, here's the fundamental problems. Now, critics have long charged that the VA system, going back to the hospitals, puts patients on a kind of assembly line, passing them from doctor to doctor. And there's also criticism of how the VA uses residents, doctors who are still in training and not certified in their specialties. Now, Terry Soule served in the Navy during the Vietnam War. His wife, Denise, said he was one casualty of this practice. In 1998, he went into the VA hospital in Cleveland, complaining of pain and diarrhea, and doctors removed small cancerous growths from his stomach and esophagus. But as his symptoms persisted over the next 2 years, his wife said the VA gave him painful tests and repeatedly lost the results. His wife says Souls was seen by a parade of constantly rotating resident doctors, and there was little consistency in his care. Once Souls was prepped for surgery, but before the operation, the doctors who were present couldn't agree on what they were going to do, she said. Before he got sick, the 6-foot Souls weighed more than 200 pounds. By the time his family decided to take him to a private hospital, he weighed 80 pounds. Some doctors thought his problem was psychosomatic. When he could no longer recognize his own son, Souls was rushed to a private hospital. There, Souls learned he was a total mass of cancer from his trachea to his renal bowel, and there was nothing that could be done, his wife said. Terry Souls died 3 days later.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Arthur Burnclough. And it's tragic the way that our veterans are treated, but you're not going to hear about this usually from our major media.
will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaw.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think it's important that people understand the wars of the past, because you don't understand the wars of the past. You can't understand what's going on today. You need to understand Vietnam. Why did we go to Vietnam? Why is a distraction from what's going on here in America? Because we financed the North Vietnamese indirectly all during the war. We would never allow our military men to do the few simple things that would have ended the war, like bombing the dikes and flooding North Vietnam. Oh, we couldn't do that. We couldn't bomb the hydroelectric plants and just turned off the electricity and ended the war overnight. We couldn't bomb the rail yards in Haiphong or even, of course, sink a ship or mine the harbor at Haiphong and shut off the ingress of supplies. No, we sent our boys over there fight and bleed and die in a war we never intended to win. You need to get our four tapes out on Vietnam. You need to get our four tapes out on the men that we left behind, or our Vietnam special. They're all available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Arthur Bernclaw. We've got Fred calling from Salinas. Fred, did you have a quick question?
Yes, I had a couple of quick comments.
No, a quick question, because Arthur wants to get a lot of information.
Yeah, I've got to move along on this, otherwise I'm not going to get this information out.
You have a quick question, Fred.
A quick question. I was wondering, Dr. Stan, if you had seen the pictures that I had sent to you?
Yes, I did, and those are pictures of the deformed children coming out. Yes, they're heart-rending pictures.
It made me sick to see that.
But, of course, they aren't going to show those on television. Thanks so much, Fred. God bless. Okay, go ahead, Arthur.
Okay, the VA's Dr. Perlin, who I mentioned before, said the soul story was tragic, but added, however, that is not the experience of most of the veterans who come to us for care. We take care of 7 million veterans, so the majority of care is good. In a big system, bad things happen. That's a quotation from Dr. Jonathan Perlin. Now, critics charge that one of the big problems facing the VA is that too much money goes toward administration at the cost of nursing and patient care. Dean Billick, the former director of the VA in Charleston, Carolina, is brought up as an example. In 1996, he was denounced for allegedly spending about $200,000 in taxpayer money to redecorate his office, $1.5 million to renovate a nursing home unit that stayed empty for 2 years, and tens of thousands of dollars for a fish tank in the lobby, while there were budget shortfalls and staff cutbacks were contemplated. Congress heard testimony claiming Billick was blatant in his mismanagement, and an inspector general's report confirmed several of the numerous allegations against him. But after everything was brought to light, Billick still got a bigger job from the VA. He was put in charge of the third largest hospital system in the Veterans Administration in our country, encompassing 8 cities, 295 acres of land, and 83 buildings, and his salary immediately jumped up about $15,000 more.
Well, I think, Arthur, the real tragedy of this whole situation, though, is the fact that they knew that the Gulf War illness was real, and the doctors were threatened with their jobs if they admitted that. And some of the doctors, there was a fellow down at the Los Angeles VA, or Long Beach VA, who tried to treat the people. He actually found MRI evidence of the lesions in the brain, and he was fired. Why? Because he was proving that the illness was real, and they didn't want that, and they terrorized and they intimidated doctors and the Veterans Administration all across America and said, there is no disease, just give them Prozac, knowing full well the permanent changes in the brain
from
their use of that fluoride compound.
A lot of doctors lost their jobs. They lost their jobs because they try to treat the patients honestly.
Right. And I think that this is what people have to understand. We've got to clean up the Veterans Administration from the top down and fire them all. And get the doctors who really wanted to help the positions of authority. There are a lot of good doctors.
Amen. Your mouth to God's ears, Dr. Stan.
Right.
This is what we need. Now, Primetime obtained budget information on the Central Texas VA system for Billick's six-year tenure at the top. It confirms that Billick cut spending $2 million for the people in direct patient care, nurses' aides, and practical nurses. Other documents obtained by Primetime show that $129 million was spent on construction at 3 of 6 facilities in Temple, Texas. One source says that Billick spent $1.8 million renovating a building at Temple for his own offices after it had been renovated for patient care. Furthermore, Nancy Kelsey, who was a nurse at one of the Temple facilities under Billick's supervision, says the way some of the staff treated patients was alarming. She said IVs ran out, patients were neglected, and dressings weren't changed. Melba Bell, whose husband Ed served in Korea, said the staff was often idle and it would take hours to get help. Other families said that if patients of their families insisted on asking for help, some of the staff retaliated. At one point, Bell's infection got so bad that the hospital used maggots to try to eat away the decay. That's not unusual treatment, but what happened afterwards was the dressing they had on there was really poorly done, said Bell's granddaughter, Chesney Shermer. Some of the maggots got out, and they were in bed with him. You know, he could feel the maggots in the bed. Anyway, Ed Bell died of gangrene in the VA hospital in 2002, and here's one more problem. When confronted with these details, Dr. Perlin said he shared the outrage and promised to look into fixing these things. But there's another problem here. Many whistleblowers and critics say if you try to expose the truth, VA managers don't want to hear it. Charles Steinert, who worked for Billick in Charleston, said he felt pressure to leave after he complained about some of the building projects and how he was being treated by supervisors. Nurse Melissa Craven also worked at the Charleston VA. She said she suffered retribution for 2 years after she spoke about some of her supervisors.
And, of course, the persecution of whistleblowers is worse under the current administration than it ever was, under the previous administrations. It was bad before, and I'm a lifelong Republican, but I will tell you that this administration is using more secrecy and more, really, efforts to silence any criticism at all. In fact, that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
They're going through, they're throwing everybody out of the CIA, not the people, of course, who are incompetent, but the people who objected to our policies and the people, of course, who spoke out against our response to 911 and the way we handled that whole tragic situation.
Yep.
So if you don't go along completely, if you speak out, if you have any different of opinion, or especially if you're a whistleblower, why, you're in real trouble.
Oh, yes.
And if you send in the Freedom of Information request, even though it's the law of the land,
while
people in government are told not to give it to you. So how can the government violate its own laws and still expect the respect of law-abiding people?
Well, years ago, the Freedom of Information Act meant something. Today, this government makes a mockery of the Freedom of Information Act.
Because they don't want the American people to know, Arthur. And
exactly.
This is what's so frightening. How can we have a free society when we have a government that puts everything under restrictions in the name of the national security? In fact, everything from Pearl Harbor and from the assassination of President Kennedy is still under national security and classified, but everything about 911 is classified, and you can't get that information. And if there's nothing to hide, who are we hiding it from? Osama
bin
Laden?
The next step is martial law, and we're well on the way to martial law here in this country.
Okay,
Dr. Perlin says it's easy for patients and their loved ones to lodge complaints about VA care. That's important to us because if there's concerns, we want to address them. This is what the VA doctor says. But many patients and their loved ones told ABC News that wasn't their experience, and even worse, many of the families are afraid to speak out. They're afraid to say what really goes on because they're afraid any little benefits that they have are going to be taken away from them, said Denise Soles, the wife of Soles who died. Now, the day after Primetime presented its findings to the VA's Perlin, he ordered inspections of the facilities Primetime investigated. They found a number of problems at the Temple, Texas VA, including poor hygiene, insufficient staffing, and low satisfaction among patients and their families. The VA announced it would bring in new supervisors, reassign some personnel, train others, and begin recruiting additional staff. Inspectors who went to the VA in Cleveland said it was in good condition. However, after their visit, Primetime received telephone calls from several sources at the hospital saying that the hospital had advanced warning of the so-called surprise inspection. And to those patients who accused the VA of assembly line care, the patients go through a succession of doctors. A public relations officer for the VA said it tries to ensure the continuity of care, but that may not always be possible. As for Dean Billick, he has now retired. In a telephone conversation Wednesday, he said he disagreed with the VA inspectors, saying their report was an opinion. Billick said he relied on his staff to supervise nursing and recommend budgets, and if he had renovated some buildings that then were closed, it was because he didn't possess 20/20 hindsight and made the best decisions at the time. Now, Representative Ted Strickland, a member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, called for the White House and Congress to approve enough money that ensure that veterans get the care that they deserve. It's a situation that's crying out for a change, the Ohio Democrat said after viewing Primetime's tapes.
But I think, Arthur, actually, instead of increasing money from VA, haven't they actually cut it back dramatically?
Yes, they have. And it really doesn't make any difference how much money they get in the VA budget. That money never finds its way to the veterans or to patient care. That money is usually used to pay off board members. It's usually used for freebies for the service organizations. The veteran very rarely, if ever, sees any of that money. And it's a situation that's crying out for a change.
And doesn't part of that go to the benefits, to bonuses for VA administrators who withhold benefits from the veterans?
Yeah, it goes to administrators who do things the VA's way and find against the veteran in any adjudication, even though the evidence will show in the veteran's favor. And veterans and their families agree they deserve better. They were good enough to fight for their country, said Milva Bell. They deserve to have the best treatment they could get. Denise Soles said before her husband died, he asked just one thing of her, to speak out. She said Terry Soles told her, if we can help another veteran from going through the hell, this is what we have to do.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Arthur Bernclough from Veterans for Constitutional Law, and his telephone number, if you'd like to get hold of him, is 631-474-4261. That's 631-474-4261. And, of course, he will be there to help, and he's helped an awful lot of veterans through the years. He acts as an advocate for the veterans with the Veterans Administration. Go ahead, Arthur.
Okay. And seriously, check the 8-page facts that I sent you, Dr. Stan. If it's not in the first 2 pages, what I told you, the start of that report, let me know and I'll send it right out to you again.
I would appreciate if you would send it out again, Arthur, because I didn't see that report from Lorraine Marie.
Okay. Now, here's a couple of letters that came in. Michael Moore wrote a new book called Will They Ever Trust Us Again? It's Letters from the War Zone. And I've got tons and tons of letters, but I'll just read a few of them here. This is from Anonymous. Is everyone blind? Hi, Mike. I am a U.S. Army sergeant stationed in Camp Warhorse, Baklubba, in Iraq. I saw your movie yesterday. It gives me hope for our country. It takes only one good man to stand up for what's right to build confidence. I often ask myself the following questions. Where is our country heading? Is everyone blind? When will someone speak the truth? But finally, your movie revives my spirit, and all my battle buddies keep asking, what are we doing here in Iraq? Why are we here today? 2 days ago, one of my best friends lost both his legs after an improvised explosive device hit his convoy. He got married right before he was deployed and didn't even have time for a honeymoon. We're all sad after seeing him, and we all started asking ourselves again, how many more have to die? How many more have to lose limbs before we get out of this place? Now, when we get angry, your movie will be our therapy. We thank you for what you did, and I encourage you to keep investigating, because there's a lot more that has to be said. Who knows? Maybe there's going to be a Fahrenheit 9/11 number two.
Well, of course, the thing is that, of course, Michael Moore wanted people to vote for John Kerry without understanding that there's not the
same. That also was ridiculous. It's no difference voting for Bush or for Kerry.
Absolutely, until the American people understand that, they did not intend to give us a choice because both of them would have continued the war. That's what it's all about.
I believe Mr. Kerry was handpicked by Mr. Bush to run against him.
I think he will. Well, I don't think, but Mr. Bush does not make those decisions. The people who control Mr. Bush do. Right. Go ahead.
He ends the letter, I will keep my name confidential for safety. Now, here's one called War Slaves, and it's from Al Lorenz. Dear Mr. Moore, thank you for these words. I am an old soldier serving in combat in Iraq. Thank you and people like you for seeing that these wonderful kids who serve in the military aren't just war slaves to be sent mindlessly into needless wars at the whim of the foolish. Every one of us in the military swears an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. This war has nothing to do with upholding and defending that Constitution. The military is for defending the Republic. It is not for overthrowing dictators, building democracies, or making the world a better place for everyone else. While these may at times be noble goals, it cannot be the business of a free and democratic society, or else it will cease to become a republic and become an empire. I pray that we will hold this administration accountable and that we teach all our politicians they are not our lords and masters, but they are in fact public servants, and none of them is above the law, but rather subject to it. Now here's one from Ted Fattell called Chicken Hawks on Patrol. Dear Mike, I wanted to tell you to keep up the fight against all the raging stupidity that seems to be going on back home. I just saw your site where Rush Limbaugh thought this prisoner abuse was some sort of a prank. Okay, sure. Does he have any idea that the release of all this only makes the lives of the guys on the ground harder? That the guys out there who hate us probably hate us more now? But then again, those pompous fools have never been in a place where being mortared is a daily occurrence. Where hearing and feeling explosions is something you just get used to. I'm sure Sean Hannity and Limbaugh have never heard the boom and prayed to God that one of their friends didn't just buy it. Let the chicken hawks come on over here and do a patrol or two, and then watch their attitudes change. I'll keep checking your website as long as I have internet capability. I've read your books aside from endorsing Oprah for president. My wife would never let me hear the end of it. I'm in full agreement with you. Here's one from Rick Bauer. Dear Mr. Moore, I'm stationed out here in the Gulf. Many of us came here as volunteers in the wake of the threat from Al-Qaeda. We were proud to do our part for America for the safety of the world. None of us could ever believe, let alone imagine, that the War Powers Order, which legally binds us to our original mission, would be subverted into a hydra of monstrous proportions. I was sent out here 2 years ago as part of the war effort in Afghanistan. But when the war drum started sounding for Iraq, I can't tell you the sinking feeling many of us felt here. We watched helplessly as the moral high ground and broad-based support we arrived with following 9/11 evaporated almost overnight. Many of us hoped that it was simply brinkmanship by the Bush administration to make Saddam comply with inspections, and we hoped that Congress would keep the situation in check and prevent any authorization of an actual, let alone expanded, Iraqi war effort. I can't adequately describe to you the huge wave of depression when the powers that be committed us to the madness we've now inherited. While the Gulf states universally despise Saddam and his sons, the Iraq invasion was almost universally viewed as a grudge match between the Bushes and the Husseins. The fact that the Iraqi people would have to suffer untold casualties in order to settle this long-standing blood feud continues to fuel resentment among local Arabs. Bush has unleashed on Western society a maelstrom which has quickly engulfed us and which we and our children will have to struggle with decades to come. All the best to you and your family.
All right, Arthur, just get your telephone number out one more time.
Okay, we can be reached. If any veteran is having any problems with the VA, Department of Defense, or anybody, we can be reached at 631-474-4261. 631-474-4261, and we're located at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Arthur.
Thank you very much for having me, Dr. Spann.
Bye-bye.
God bless you for the work you're doing.
Thank you. And, of course, this is Arthur Birnbaum from Veterans for Constitutional Law, and he's doing a great job representing our veterans. What are we doing over in Iraq? Well, of course, you need to go to the Project for the New American Century website and read what the people who are in charge are really saying. That's Project for the New American Century.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and really to understand the war in Iraq, you have to understand the long-range plan that was laid out by the Project for the New American Century. You can go to their website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. It's really all explained in my video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and you can get that along with a syllabus that contains information from the Project for the New American Century's website. Who is in the Project for the New American Century? Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, John Bolton, who will probably be the new Deputy Secretary of State, Liddy, who is Dick Cheney's advisor, Elliot Abrams, the small clique of people planned, starting back in 1997, to build this American empire and have our troops stationed throughout the world and permanently stationed in Iraq. The invasion of Iraq had nothing to do with 9-1-1. 9-1-1 was the excuse for going into Iraq. And the invasion of Afghanistan was to get the American people to think we were going after the terrorists, and we did not try to get Osama bin Laden. And if you doubt that, we carry a book. It's called Crude Politics, but we'll send you free of charge an article out of the Washington Times, October 7th, 2001, as we began the war with Afghanistan, saying... high officials saying, we're not going to try to get Osama bin Laden. If we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war with Afghanistan? So you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's all symbolism over substance. You had to get the American people ready to go to war. And, of course, when we didn't get Osama bin Laden, it immediately went to war with Iraq. And, of course, just in Fallujah alone, they've destroyed that whole city. I mean, the people there, of course, not only are coming back to homes that are rubble, the economy is gone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our plea is try to understand what is going on in Iraq today. You need to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, because it gives you the background of all of the wars of the last century and the fact that we, of course, were manipulated into the war and the Spanish-American War. They lied. Government lied about the Spanish sinking the battleship Maine, and, of course, it turned out to be an explosion on the ship itself. And they put that battleship into the harbor intentionally to provoke a war. And then the First World War, why, of course, we got into the war because the wicked Huns were cutting off the hands of little Belgian boys and the breasts of the Belgian women. It was all a lie. We lost 125,000 American boys. In that battle, we got into the Second World War of Pearl Harbor. And if you study what happens, you find out that they knew where the Japanese fleet was. They knew when the attack was coming. And they specifically did not notify the commanders there at Pearl Harbor. We've got a wonderful four-tape set on that, interviews with Robert Stinnett and John Toland, who both did extensive research into what happened at Pearl Harbor. And we still carry the book by Robert Stinnett, Day of Deceit. They're available from Radio Liberty, but the four-tape set on Pearl Harbor, nothing quite like that available anyplace. And then, of course, well, people's justified. We had to do something about the wicked Adolf Hitler. Well, of course, you can get the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. Point out that we financed Adolf Hitler, both before and during the war, certainly Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton. We carry the book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. It goes into the background of how we financed Adolf Hitler both before and during the war, and other books that go into the relationship between Brown Brothers Harriman and a man named Prescott Bush, who was, of course, working for Brown Brothers Harriman, who was indicted for war crimes for trading with the enemy during the Second World War. But the tapes that were really turn your blood to ice water is called Operation Paperclip, a brand new four tapes that we've got. Tells how the CIA brought the Nazi war criminals, about 1,000 of them, here to America to continue their bizarre experiments with mycoplasm and mind control, and to build, of course, our rocket system, but helped 10,000 Nazi war criminals like Klaus Barbie and Adolf Eichmann and Dr. Mengele and Martin Bormann escape to South America. 10,000 Nazis, helped by the CIA and British intelligence, to escape to South America after the Second World War. And, of course, why? Because there is a spiritual component to Nazism, and there is a spiritual component working within certain parts of the dark side of our government. There have always been two forces in our government, one the Christian and the other the occult. And that's why, of course, part of the CIA helped the Nazis. Why? Because they have a common goal. A new world order, a new world religion. That four tape set's called Operation Paperclip. So you'll certainly want to get our four tape set going into the background of Pearl Harbor. You'll want to get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, and the syllabus that goes with that, and get the information. And then, of course, you'll want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual forces that energize everything that is going on in the world today. You can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book, the video, and the audio tape. And I have calls probably every week from people who've told me they've read the book and it's changed their lives. The number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Listen to our programs. You can hear us 5 hours a day on the Internet, 5 hours a day on satellite, 5 hours a day on radio someplace in America, 4 hours a day on shortwave. Tell people about our programs. Get them listening by word of mouth. We're reaching people all across America. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for provision and protection. We're on the front lines of this battle. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.